Praise the Lord. We greet you in the name of the Lord, and gonna check out our volume here. And if Brother Michael, can you confirm for me that you can hear me? That I've got everything turned on right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So, still missing a few, but we expect them to come in directly. Some of them may be having a hard time, excuse me, connecting. I was trying to help a brother connect this morning to Capstone, and for some reason it wasn't letting him. It kept wanting him to go through different things, and so sometimes it's a little bit confusing how to do it, but we're praying that each one will be able to get on, and if not, maybe they'll reach out to you that you could help them. And so I want to say that we thank the Lord for His mercy and grace, and for a safe journey to and fro to the coast. We did enjoy, and although we did have some bad weather. We had a rain day, and then we had a we discovered that we had got COVID before we left. And so Sister Rebecca just let me know that they're listening on YouTube, so that may be some of the others may be going that way. So we're glad that we're able to stream like this. And Sunday was a rough day, I think, for many. We were definitely not feeling well, and otherwise we would have spoke to the people. But we appreciate Michael, Brother Michael, putting on the tape and at least having something going forth. And that message is a great message. It's the introduction to the seals, the opening of the seven seals. And so we know that that was a great turning point in the history of the world, and especially for the bride of Jesus Christ. We know that there was something that was going on, and that when the seventh angel came on the scene and began revealing the seven church ages, that was a great time, a powerful time. And Brother Branham said it's beyond sublime. And so there's not words for the great things that God has done in this day. And it's just got better and better and better, and or greater and greater if we look back to the beginning and see what God has done. And so we know that it's just the greatest hour to be a son and daughter of God, and to enjoy the revelation of God as he's brought it forth. And I'm trying to think of the things that I wanted to say. I kind of ran out of time here. I was still trying to get it together. I'm used to having somebody open, and there was song service and those things, and I'm still kind of making my notes. But I do want to remember each one that's been sick. I know that Sister Emily and Brother Goomba, some of the family members there have been affected, and then Rebecca and Cameron, they also had some bad days, and they didn't get tested, but they were pretty sure that that's what it was because of the symptoms. And my worst day was on Sunday, and then the wife, she, her worst day has been today. And so we didn't want to take this over to Michael and Amanda's house tonight. There's still too much going on. And I didn't know, Brother Guma was telling me today that they say that when you have it, that the air you're putting out can hang for up to 3 hours. So if I'm there preaching an hour and a half and blowing all of those germs into the air, and then that's just going to fill up the room. They're going to have a hard time missing all of that. So we're just praying that God will spare those that haven't had any of that, and that they can bypass it. And so we're going to just go into the message. I still might talk to you just a few minutes, but I'm trusting that that the others are able to get on the YouTube. And so we're going to just bow our heads. We won't have a song service or anything, but we'll bow our heads, and then we'll ask God to just guide us and speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come thankful. Lord, we feel blessed in every way. Lord, through trial or trouble or sickness or whatever, Lord, you've blessed us above and beyond. And Lord, we just appreciate it so much. And we just ask that you would just lead us and guide us tonight now. Lord, as we've come expecting to hear from you, that you would just turn our hearts, Lord, and stir our hearts, Father, continually. Guide us, lead us, and guide us in all truth. And Father, forgive us our shortcomings. Lord, we pray for each one that has any symptoms or has been through any of this, Lord, and for each one that hasn't, Lord, that you would just protect them and not let them be touched or faced by any of this sickness going around. Lord, we know that you have a purpose in all things, and so we give you the thanks and the praise. Lord, just knowing that your will is being done in our lives day by day. Lord, may you take this service now, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in what to say, what not to say. May you be with Brother Michael as he's traveling. Give him traveling mercy, Lord. Help him to do his job there, and just bless him, Father, in every way now. We just commit all these things to you. Lord, those that would listen in, Brother Benjamin, the different ones in Kenya, from Sri Lanka, India, Lord, whatever country they might be listening from, Lord, may you stir every heart. Just have your way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So God bless you so much. Now, I wanted to say, I just think that this is the strangest thing, the way that so many have got sick at the same time. And of course, I thought that on Sunday I really wrestled. We didn't know what to do. Brother Gumba and I both were sick, and it was just a last minute for Michael. And so we were really, it's a hard decision to make when you're talking about canceling a service. We'd never like to do that. I'd never like to do that on the mission field. I would, through sickness, through anything, try to always maintain the service. It was a very rare thing. It was beyond my control any time that missed a service on the mission field. And so I felt like that. What was it? I guess it was maybe Sunday a week ago that I went when I went to the pulpit. I just told the people. I said, "Yes, I wanted prayer. I wanted to ask God to stir me up and help me. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be slack. I don't want to get lazy in the spiritual things." And then just out of nowhere, that Wednesday night service was a really, really strong anointing, and it was really just, I said so many things that I didn't have in my notes. I didn't intend to talk, and it just I felt like the Lord just really come in with a great anointing, and then it seemed like Satan just jumped right on her back and tried to take that sweetness away. But the thing is, we know, we recognize the presence of God, and we recognize what God is doing, and we recognize that Brother Branham said that the bright skies are not a sign of God's blessing, and the clouds and the bad days are not a sign of God's disapproval. There's only one place of approval, and that's in the Word, that's in the revelation. And so that's where we want to be. We want to be in the revelation. And I believe that we are as much as God has led us. We are depending on Him. We're asking Him for revelation every day, every service. We are looking to Him to give us more revelation. By no means do we ever feel like that we have it or that we're above somebody. If anything, we feel like we're the lowest. We're at the bottom, and that we're depending on Him every minute for all things. And we want to stay that way. We want to stay humble. We want to stay at His feet, that He would just have His way in all things. And so I told you that I wanted to get into some things that has gone around for a long time ago. And so my title tonight, and I'm going to see if I can go ahead and pull this over, if I can find the share. Okay. Yeah, I think they made me the host, and I'm not sure if that was a good idea. That's not it. Sorry.
Yeah, that got your quotes up. I can see your quotes.
Okay. All right. So I hadn't saved them and titled them, but they're titled in the page there. So yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Oh, so you are hosting them. Because it asked me when I opened, that I was going to be the host, and I just said okay.
I'm not sure who the host is, but I can
Okay.
see.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for doing that. All right. So now, so I took my title here, The Book of Redemption, and this is part one because I want to spend a little bit of time on redemption. And but then you're going to notice an odd thing, that I took a title, Adam and the Book. And so just recently I was studying, and I run across in The Breach, Brother Branham talking about Adam, and it really hit me about Adam and the inheritance and the title deeded book, and that Adam lost it. And so, there's been so many things going around about Adam, and it's created so many questions. And some of it is is something there to look at. Some of it it doesn't follow all the way through the scripture. And so if we can't pull something all the way through, then we want to be really, really careful what we do. And so I wanted to read some of those quotes, and that's the reason I had him play The Breach on Sunday, is because of the things that Brother Branham spoke about in that message concerning Adam. But I'm still studying on the subject, and we're gonna just go through little by little, and I'm gonna maybe these first couple messages, we're gonna talk a little bit about Adam, and then as we go along, we'll get a little bit deeper. So I wanna we're gonna read in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, and let's see if I can move this around. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And so, I'm taking the genealogy there from Luke chapter 3, and it starts, comes all the way down through, all the way down, takes it all the way back to Adam. And when it comes back to Adam, then the scripture is declaring here that Adam is the son of God. Let's read it again. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, the scripture is declaring here that Adam is the Son of God. And you say, well, there's no question about that. We believe that. That's just a no-brainer. Yeah, that's right. But because of doctrines that are out there, then it presents in a different way. And so I want to just spend a little bit of time on what the prophet has said, maybe a few services on it, and I want you to look at it. And I want you to look at the quotes, and there's just, it's amazing now as we get closer, as this climax is getting closer and closer and closer to a finish, that the ideas and the doctrines are spreading out bigger, wider, 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 and going different ways. And so, and we're open. We're open. If there's something there, let's have it. But we're not gonna. One thing I don't do is I don't go around in circles. I don't go around in circles. If I see something, I want to point out what I see, and I'm gonna read the quotes that I see that, and I'm gonna tell you what it is. I'm not gonna keep it hidden, and then after, you know, like if you agree, or you pick up on what I'm saying, then I'm going to agree with you and then tell you, yeah, that's right. You got it now. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you what I see. That's what preachers do. Preachers preach the word as God gives them understanding. That's their job. That's their purpose. I can't preach what somebody else, revelation somebody else has unless God gives me that same revelation. And so when I get the revelation, then I'm going to preach it and I'm going to explain it the best I can explain it. That's what God give it to me for. That's what exactly what the prophet did for us. God give him the revelation and then the prophet brought it to us and he explained it to us the best we can. You can say, well, no, you can't explain a revelation. Well, if you have a revelation of something, then you can explain what God has revealed to you. And if you're not willing to do that, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong somewhere, because Brother Branham has messages and messages and messages of questions and answers. And people didn't understand things, and they asked him the question, and he tried to explain to them exactly how he saw the revelation. He tried to explain them, and he tried to give them the scripture. And that's what we're doing. We're looking at the scripture. We're looking at the quotes. We're looking at these different things. And we're trying to bring this picture together of the revelation that God has revealed. And if we don't have any explanation for what we're saying, then there's something wrong, some confusion there. All right, now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read a few verses here. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, and neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to pray once again. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We ask now that you would bless this these scriptures, and that you would lead us and guide us, Father, in the things that you would have us to say. Bless the people, Lord. Open every heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see here that this in Revelation chapter 5, that there is one sitting on the throne with a book written within. And this book is not open. He's telling us that it needs to be opened. And there's, you know, they're calling for somebody who's worthy, somebody who can come and open the book. And then we find there's no man in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. There's no man worthy to take the book and to loose the seven seals. And so Brother Branham's going to explain some of those things to us. So I'm going to start in the message, God hiding himself in simplicity. And we know that this is the step coming from when Brother Branham preached the breach. He said that was the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. And so we immediately found out as soon as the seven seals were beginning to be revealed that there was things there that we didn't know about, that there was more that was to happen that we didn't know about. And so it became, Brother Ram said, it became a new Bible, became a new book. And so it immediately began to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I was talking this a little bit before we left last Wednesday, and I remember saying some things about when I first started going to India and the things that I was preaching. And we were preaching marriage and divorce. We were preaching serpent seed. We were preaching two souls. Those were the only things that we knew. Those were the mysteries that were there that we could see at that time. And that was before we were talking about the thunders. That was long before. I mean, the thunders was just beginning to be talked about, and we didn't really know what it was. We didn't really know where those mysteries were exactly. Brother Ram said they were hidden in the messages, and you know, it was just beginning to be unfolding. And so when we first started on the mission field 40 years ago, the mysteries we had was from the seventh angel from the seventh church age. And he had, you know, we took the simplicity of it. And of course, even marriage and divorce, some of that came after the seals was opened. But so much of that, there was so much revelation in that message. It just is amazing. But anyways, you know, taking the basics of it, that was always here. And that's what I've said about marriage and divorce all along. What happened from the fall introduced polygamy as it is, and all of nature and all of man, all of those things. And so we were just preaching the natural side, not realizing all of the unwritten word that was hidden in there at the time. But it was preaching two souls that also really became real after. But he talked about the soul all the way through. So that was a revelation. And so some of them things we were kind of maybe mixing it with the church ages. And so there was something there. We were just getting little pieces. It was just getting started. But the revelation for the seventh church age, we had that. We had one God. We had water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had the communion, those other things. We had the ordinances. We had all of those things. And they had been restored back in their correct form and the correct order. And so all of those things, it was there. And that was what was being preached in those days by the message people. And so, but then as it began to open up, and the thunders really begin to become more reality, then it seemed like there was more separation. And even with the marriage and divorce has always been a separator. And so in the end of the seventh church age, coming right over into the bride age, it's just been a separator. And so all of those things, as they were beginning to really be understood, then it began to be dividing. It began to divide the people and the groups and the churches and the preachers and everything else. So let me move into this now. Paragraph 405 in God and Simplicity. You know, this was the message that Brother Branham preached on Sunday morning, before the seals. This was his opening message. And then Sunday night was the breach, and then Monday night was the first seal. And so then the following Sunday morning was the I think it was the questions and answers, and the following Sunday night was the seventh seal. And so I think there was a lot of wisdom there. That way he didn't get they couldn't ask the question on the seventh seal because it hadn't been preached yet. And so it was interesting the way that it played out. All right, 405. Now, when man, before he sinned, see, now I'm closing, but don't you miss it. When man sinned, he separated himself from God. When man sinned, he separated himself from God. So we know that before man sinned, he was one with God. And he had fellowship with God, and he talked to God. He spent time with God every day. There was just a fellowship that was going on, and he was in perfect harmony. The prophet said, perfect harmony with God. And those are just basic, simple principles that are facts. And so I don't know why anybody wants to mess with those things. Just leave them like they are, because they're right. If there's some more revelation, just bring it. Just bring that revelation. But don't mess with what's already there. Don't mess with it. So when man sinned, he separated himself from God and crossed a great chasm and put himself to death on this side. So he separated himself from God. Is that right? That's what's happened. That's what we were talking about last week when we were talking about going beyond the camp. And that's what people have done. They've gone beyond the camp of God. They've gone beyond the camp of the presence of God. They've gone beyond the camp of the Word of God. They've gone beyond the camp. And so when you leave God's camp, you're going to end up in somebody else's camp, be it your own camp, your own idea, your own theology, some church's idea, something like that. So you don't want to do it. But that's what happened when the fall, when man sinned. He separated himself from God, and he crossed a great chasm. And man could not cross this chasm back by himself. See? And he went into death. He left. There's no way back. Exactly. There's no way for him to get back. But then when he did, God accepted a substitute, which was a lamb or a goat or a sheep or something for blood, which Adam spoke of, or Abel spoke of, on the other side of the chasm. So the first thing, and we don't talk about it too much, but God covered them with skins. So that first sacrifice, God did it for them. That's interesting, isn't it? That from Abel on, man, it was put on the man to do this, do this, do this, until it come to Christ, who gave himself. But for Adam, God took and covered them. So he made a covering for them. And then and there was blood. And so that blood came on. Abel had a revelation of it, and that was on this side of the chasm after the fall. On that side, He's a son of God. See, he's an offspring of God. He's an inheritance of the earth. He can control nature. He can speak into existence. Why, he's a creator himself. He's an offspring of God. That's what Adam was. That's what Adam is. See, and when he fell, he separated himself from that. He separated himself from that. But if you sin, does that change the seed that's in you? In other words, my question is this: does the genealogy change now that Adam's no longer a son of God? Or does that genealogy come right over in the New Testament and say that Adam is a son of God? I think it does. I think we read it. Let's read that one more time because he makes some good points. On that side, before the fall. So he's showing us the difference before and after the fall. On that side, he's a son of God. He's an offspring of God. He's an inheritance of the earth. He inherited the earth. God gave it to him. That was his inheritance. God just gave it to him. Praise God. Took his man, his son, his creation, placed him there in the garden, and put him over the whole earth. Put him over the whole earth. He can control nature. He can speak into existence. This is what Adam had. This is what Adam done. Why, he's a creator himself. He could just speak anything, and it would just be just like that. Whatever he spoke, it could be like that. He's an offspring of God. That's Adam. But when he crossed, now there's the fall. He's going to cross this line. He's going to cross this chasm. He's going to fall from this place where God has put him. He separated his sonship. He's a sinner by nature. See? He's under the hands and dominion of Satan. And God took a sacrifice, a chemical of the blood, and he put the blood of bulls and goats that did not divorce sin. It only covered sin. So it didn't get rid of it. It only covered it. That's been the problem. Okay? But that's been sufficient. That's been sufficient to bring us along, to get man back in fellowship with God. Adam was able to have some fellowship, but he was put out, and he lost that place where God put him to. He lost his inheritance. See? He separated his sonship. But he did not stop being a son of God. He did not stop being God's man. He did not. Or you show it to me. You show me where he was no longer a son. It wouldn't even make sense. It wouldn't make sense. That's what he came for. That's what he's revealing in this day, is all that was in him before the foundation of the world. That's the revelation today. That's the revelation of redemption today. So we thank God. If I've got a red spot on my hand and I cover it with white, the red spot's still there. See? It's still there. But God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own sin. No. I had a question. I was given a question if I got the wrong quotes here. And these are the right quotes, if you're reading along with me. Brother Michael?
The ones we are seeing, brother, is talking about Elijah and the meal offering. That's the only two quotes we see.
Okay. All right. So that means I closed that a while ago. And All right, let's share one more time. Thank you. Sorry for that. Okay.
We're
Now,
still
what do you.
seeing the same quotes.
You're still seeing the same quotes. Okay. So, what we're going to
Hold on,
have to.
no, hold on. There it is. It just changed for me. I'm sorry. It just changed. You're good.
Okay. I'm back. So, is that it? Still there?
Yes, sir. They just updated, so looks good now.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that. When I first you had told me you already opened it, but I had clicked on those quotes and realized it was the wrong ones because I didn't have it titled yet. And so I closed that, or I minimized it, and apparently it stayed on the screen for you. So I'm sorry for that. Thank you for letting me know that, because I want you to be able to follow with me. And so this is so far we've read God in Simplicity in 405 and 407, and we're going to 410. What happens to the Son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the Father again. Let's see if we got that right. Okay, let's read this. I didn't finish above. If you got a red spot on my hand and cover it with white, the red spot's still there. See, it's still there, but God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own Son. That when our confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. The coloring of sin goes back through the mediators and down through the time until it hits the accuser, Satan, and lays it on him till the day of judgment. Okay? What happens to the Son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the Father again. That's what the blood did. Brother Branham said that's what Calvary did. He said that Calvary restored that fellowship once again. He becomes in perfect fellowship with the Father again, standing on the other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. See, there's no more stain of bleach. Can be seen anywhere. It's free. Hallelujah. Just as that Clorox or that ink can never be ink no more because it's broke up and sent back again. So that's what the bleach done. That's what the blood done. The blood paid the price for sin once and for all. And that was a given. But there was something, yeah, that was revealed 2,000 years ago. Okay. So that was taken care of. But there was something more to redemption that wasn't yet revealed. And that's what had to be revealed. And we didn't even know. We didn't even know. As far as we knew, the blood was the finish of all things, the finish of redemption. And we were just waiting for some reason here for a rapture. So we were just waiting here until God decided to call us away. But we found out that this calling away, there was a greater purpose in it. There was something more that had to be done. And he's going to tell us that in these quotes. He's going to tell us what it was that was yet to take place. And when confessed sin is confessed and been dipped, or a man or a woman has been dipped into the blood of Jesus Christ, it kills all symptoms. And every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and laid on him till the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into a lake of fire. And the chasm is bridged and never to come into remembrance no more. And a man stands justified as a son of God. Simplicity. Amen. So that's when he reveals it, and this revelation also got greater after the seals was revealed. We know that. We know that we could stand justified. That's what was revealed in Invisible Union and those things. And he'd been saying it all along, and he even talked about this justification in the seals themselves, not just in the God and simplicity, but in on into the seals, you follow it. He's referring to this justification, being justified in the sight of God. And but it's a little ways down the road in 1965 in Invisible Union, where the reality or the climax of that revelation really, it really blossoms and blooms and just becomes, it sets you free when you realize that there's absolutely no sin to the bride. There is no sin. Absolutely. She never sinned. She has no sin. She has been completely set free. That there was another man that lived in there, and that man is dead. And now the new man is Christ, and he's living in the house, and he has no sin. And he had no sin in the beginning. And so that seed that's in you now has no sin whatsoever. So we thank God for that. We thank God to be able to stand justified in the sight of God. See, now Moses, under the blood of bulls and goats, with his confession in the word of God, God could take a simple man and put his words in his mouth. How about that? This was before Christ. This was under the blood of bulls and goats that God could take a man and put his words in his mouth. See? So he's coming back. He's coming, working his way back. See, and he proved that he was Jehovah's servant, for he could walk out there, and Jehovah spoke to him by vision. And he walked out, and he stretched his hands toward the east. And now remember, God had spoke to him. It's God's thought. God uses man. God spoke to him. It's right. He said, go stretch that rod in your hand towards the east and say flies. So there was a son of God that God was vindicating that he was the mouthpiece of God. And God was vindicating that he was the son of God under the blood of bulls and goats. God was proving that he could take a man and that through a man speak the word of God and do the supernatural through this man. He was doing it. Now, in the fourth seal, paragraph 25. See where we're at on time. Okay, we got plenty of time here. So I hope everybody's comfortable and is listening. Paragraph 25 of the fourth seal. And then no one in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth was worthy to open it or even to look upon it. And John wept because he could find no man. Because if the book was not taken out of the hand of the original owner, where it had been lost by Adam and Eve, and went back after they forfeited their rights of the word, the promises, their inheritance. Now, I want you to listen close now to what he's saying, okay? So this book went back to the original owner, right? So this he's repeating again, as he did in God in Simplicity, that he said, remember, they controlled the earth. He was a amateur god, for he was a son of God. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Adam. And a son of God, now he's talking about all sons of God. There he was talking about one son of God, Adam, that the Bible identifies as the son of God. And now he's going to talk to about the rest of us. And a son of God is an amateur god. Not just that one, but the son of God, a son of God. Now, this is any son of God. Now, that ain't contrary to the scripture. I know that sounds strange, but Jesus said, if you call them who the word of God came to, see, if you call them who the word of God came to, what does the word of God come to? It comes to prophets, see? If you call them who the word of God came to, gods, How can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? See? How could you condemn Adam for saying he was the Son of God? The Bible says he was the Son of God. He absolutely was the Son of God. So now Adam here is forfeiting something. That means God has gave him something, and because of the fall, he's losing something that God had gave him. Now, it's been so far identified. He's talking about the book. He's talking about the inheritance. He's talking about their complete control of nature, their complete control, that Adam was the God of the earth. That's exactly what he said. He was the God of the earth. God is the God of the universe. Adam was the God of the earth. And the earth was his inheritance, and he controlled it. Adam was in full control of the earth. That's the prophet speaking now. 28. And now they were gods. And men, if you become born in the family of your family name, you are a son and a part of your father. Then when sin came in, we found out that man crossed the chasm, and the blood of bulls and goats covered but did not remit, until the real bleach came that could take the stain of sin and break it completely in pieces and send it back upon its original perverter. And that was Satan. See? And when it got back to Satan, he waits his time of eternal annihilation. Now, that shows what we believe. We believe that he will absolutely be done completely away and annihilated. And he's calling it eternal annihilation. And Brother Branham called it eternal separation. And so that means they never were a part of God. So if they're here now, presently manifesting, and we can see them, and we see their actions, we see their manifestations, we see the things that they're doing, and it's not a part of God, then we know that they are eternally separated, but they're fulfilling God's purpose in this space of time. They're simply fulfilling God's purpose for this age, for this day, and for that day and that age, and for Moses' time and Jeremiah's time, and each one in every age where Satan came on the scene and was deceiving, trying to deceive the people. Who did he deceive? Not the sons of God. He did not deceive the sons of God. He did not deceive Adam, because Adam, it was not possible to deceive Adam, because he was the Son of God. And the Son of God can't be deceived. Let me just leave it there. I don't have to. I'm not going to try to qualify everything. If you don't see it, you think I'm not saying it right, then just question me, and I'll try to break it down. But I'm trying to hit the high spots, because you just can't read all of it, and sometimes you think that we don't need to. But then sometimes we think something so simple doesn't need to be touched, and it does. And so it's just, it's hard sometimes. But we know that there is an eternal separation. And that's that group of people. They might be preaching. They might be casting out devils. And they might be doing many great signs and wonders. And the scripture said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, how can that be iniquity? Because it's false. It's a false gospel. It's a false anointing. It's a false. The whole thing is false. And so he'll say, I never knew you. You never became one with me. You were never before the foundation were in me. You were not. We were not in relationship. We were not in a union. No. Adam was. They're not. You were. They're not. You came out of him. You came out of him. I'm not taking away from what God has done in this day. So don't get that idea. I'm not. Because this is the marriage. This is the union. This is the claiming. And that's what he's going to tell us. This is the claiming. This is that we didn't know had to come. We thought it was all there. We thought Pentecost was it, and we were trying with everything within us to replicate Pentecost. That's what we wanted. We just wanted to do what they did. If we could do what Paul did, if we could do what the disciples did, then we had it. Then they were write another book of Acts behind us. That's just what we were looking for. But this revelation got so great and so deep that we found out that the book was already wrote. Then it already told what we were going to do, and already told what we were going to believe, and it already told we were going to accept it. It already told everything, every action, everything. God had already revealed it, already brought it forth. I think we're at 127. That's the reason John wept. See, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. I skipped some, didn't I? Sorry. Now, I want you to read with me as you do, compare scriptures of this great event that we will see that this great secret or mystery that God has under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the six seals all together is one great big book. Just six scrolls rolled together. And it unwinds the whole book of redemption. See? That's how the whole earth was redeemed. Think about that. So watch how he ties the six seals together. And he's going to come later. He'll come later and do the same thing. He'll talk about the sixth seal mystery, and then he'll talk about the seal or the seventh seal. And that he'll separate that, showing us that this is the book of redemption and this is his coming. Remember, these are hidden mysteries, and the six seals altogether is one great big book. Just six scrolls rolled together, and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. And that's how the whole earth was redeemed. And that's the reason that John wept. Because if no one could get the book, all creation, everything was gone. And she just simply turned back to atoms and molecules and so forth and cosmic light and not even be creation, persons, nothing else. Because Adam lost the rights of that book. He forfeited when he listened to his wife. And she listened to Satan reasoning in the stead of the word of God. See, it was forfeited. See, so then it couldn't go back into the hands of Satan, who tempted her out of the way. See, so therefore it went back to its original owner, like any abstract deed would do. It goes right back to its original owner. And that was God, the creator, who made it. He holds it. Now, I want to ask you a question, and you might think this is a ridiculous question, maybe. Did Adam have the book? Is he telling us that Adam had the book and Adam lost the book? And once again, it's just like in this day, he takes the book, he reveals the book. We know he's not holding the book up saying, I got this book, and in this book is this. We know that he's the book. We know we're the book. So did Adam, but Adam lost this thing. He lost this book. So I'm asking you this question for a reason. Is he saying that Adam was going to get the book one day, but now he's lost rights to it, so now he's not going to get it? Or is he saying Adam is possessing this, and now Adam has lost it? You see what I'm saying? Because That's exactly some of the ideas that are being presented out there, is that he never had it. He never had it. He didn't have this perfect fellowship with God. He didn't have this perfect harmony with God. And so, in the words we use are important. And I know sometimes I may be a little bit loose. You forgive me. I try to do better. But when people come and use words that the prophet don't use, and that's one thing I can say, I try to use the same words. If I'm using the same word, then I'm not changing because I want to make it a different meaning. And when people bring different words, they're changing something. They want you to see something different than the way he said it. And so we must be careful. We must be careful about that. And so this has been on my heart a long time, a really long time. And I just feel like that God hit me the other day, a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, and that's the reason I'm preaching this. And so I want to bring it right. It's not against anybody. It's not fighting anybody. And so I never want that. I don't want to come like that. And I've avoided this and these things a long time because of that very thing. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to come against anybody. I don't want to fight anybody. But as a minister, I have an obligation to God, just like every other minister has, every one of us. And we have an obligation when we feel like God puts something on our heart, then we've got to say what God told us to say. And so that's what I'm doing right now. This has been something that's been on me for a long time. And so I want you to think about this question, because we're going to keep going in this Sunday, next Wednesday. It's going to keep going. And I want you to think about this question right now, the way that he words what he's saying. Because if somebody's bringing a different idea here, then they've got to say it in a way that's going to make their idea work. Okay? So I just want to go ahead and I want to head that off right now. Let's read it again, 127. That's the reason John wept, because no one could get that book. Because if no one could get that book, all creation, everything was gone. She just simply turned back to the atoms and molecules, so forth, cosmic light, not even be creation, person, nothing. Everything would be lost. That, Brother Branham said, that's why John was crying. And he was talking to some man, tried to tell Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, the reason John was crying is because he found he wasn't worthy. And Brother Branham said, that don't even make sense. That don't make spiritual sense. It wasn't because John felt unworthy. That's not why he was crying. The reason he was crying is because if there was no one worthy, then all of the inheritance is lost. All of the earth is lost. All of mankind is lost. It couldn't be redeemed. If there was no one to come take this book and open the book and to claim what's in the book. Think about that. We use the word reveal. But what he's doing is he's opening the book and he's claiming it. He's revealing what's in there. He's revealing it once again. See? So Adam lost something, and that something's in the book, and that's got to be revealed. So Adam had it. He's telling us. Because Adam lost the rights of that book. Now, if you just take just that one, it's going to sound, okay, well, maybe he's just talking about the rights. Maybe he hadn't had it yet. Let's see. He forfeited it. He forfeited it when he listened to his wife, and she listened to Satan's reasoning instead of the word of God. See, it was forfeited. Then it couldn't go back into the dirty hands of Satan, who tempted her out of the way. So therefore, it went back to its original owner, like any abstract deed would do. See, goes back to its original owner, and that was God the Creator who made it, and he holds it. So now here he's telling us, he's really answering the question now, because if it's going back to the original owner, then that means Adam had to have it. Does that make sense? Adam had to have it. Adam had to be in possession of this book, this inheritance, of this whole thing. If he wasn't in possession of it, then it was already in the hands of the original owner. So, but Satan, being that Satan is the one who caused the fall here, he couldn't control it. But what he did is he worked his way into humanity. He worked his way into the human race by the deception. Okay, but now the book is in the hands of the original owner. Now we're in the breach. And now I know that we normally, this is about as much time as we'd be taking because we'd have a song service we didn't tonight. So I'm just going to go a little bit further. I hope you're okay. So this will be make up for the not having the song service. 90. As when a person is struck with disease, aches and pains, one time they wasn't that way, but they're groaning. Why? They're not right. There's something wrong, and they're groaning, and they're trying to get back to where they was when they had health. And when nature and people, as the Bible said, are groaning, it shows, listen now, it shows there's something that they're not in their ought to be condition. They have fallen from somewhere. You got it, huh? When you see these things, and I want to remind you, and I think Brother Goomba read a quote here not too long ago, and Brother Bram said it many times, but it was the one that he read, and I can't think of it right now. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. But he was talking about before the fall, there was no sickness, there was no death, there was no any of the things that we have today. It was not there. Think about that. That is significant. That is important. There was none of it. Adam was living, and Eve was living in a place of no sin, of no sickness. There was none of those things. There was no rain. There was no storm. There was no snow. It was just perfection. Everything was perfection. And Adam was in complete control of this perfection. And Adam was in perfect harmony with God himself, his father, because he was the son of God. His father was God. Is that what the scripture said? That's exactly what the scripture said. I'm sorry, I just messed up. Okay. It shows there's something that they're not in their ought to be condition. They have fallen from somewhere. Now, we don't need anybody. We don't need anybody to interpret that for us. See? For of course, we know it was eternal life they had fallen from. And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the garden and brought all nature under them to death. Praise be to God. Now I don't know what to say. I don't know what to hit. Think about this now. Did they fall? Did they fall from eternal life? Huh? They lost their claims on eternal life by the fall. They lost their claims on eternal life. Okay? Let's read it again. We might read it many times. Now, we don't need anybody to interpret that for us. That means we, I'm going to explain this sentence right here. We don't need anybody to interpret that for us. Huh? You say, well, you just read it again. That's right. Because it does, that sentence doesn't need anybody to interpret anything. That sentence is the interpretation. That sentence is telling us. It's obvious. It's common sense. We know it was eternal life that they had fallen from. And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under them to death. Is that what's been happening ever since the fall? They died. Their flesh died. Did they die? Did they lose their eternal life? You just think about it. You just think about it. Because if they did, you do. Huh? They lost their claims because of the fall. Their flesh died. All nature dies. It's still dying. But if you are a son of God, then you are not eternally separated, eternally annihilated. You are not. If you are a son of God, you were a part of God. And he says it over and over and over. You were a part of God. There's only one eternal life, and that's God himself, and you are a part of him. The scripture is telling us in the very beginning that Adam was the son of God. And us, that flesh was the creation of God. It was God just formed it of the dust of the earth. His spirit was created by God. And then God breathed into him the soul of God. That was all. Adam was every bit of him was the son of God. I'm sorry. We're going to read it again. We don't need anybody to interpret that for us. See? For of course we know it was eternal life that they had fallen from. And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under them to death. So the problem was now that they lost their claims. Now somebody was going to have to come and redeem it. And Adam was not able to redeem it. Adam is responsible for the fall. So it was going to take somebody to come and redeem it. And now it was going to take a kinsman redeemer now, because these people were in flesh. And somebody was going to have to come in flesh that could redeem them. See? This wasn't going to be a spiritual thing that was being done, although it has its spiritual aspect. But it was going to have to, these were human beings, these were a son of God, a daughter of God, that was in human flesh. And so now somebody's going to have to come in human flesh to redeem these back to that eternal life in flesh again. See? A tree never died before Adam. An animal wouldn't die before Adam. And there's only one thing that cannot die, and that's God, because he's eternal. I know you're getting it. I know you're not missing it. There's only one thing that cannot die, because that's God, because he's eternal. And a tree couldn't die, an animal couldn't die, Adam couldn't die, Eve couldn't die, nobody could die, nobody could be sick. Everything was in perfect harmony with Adam, with God. Adam was in complete control of this whole earth. Everything, Adam just controlled it perfectly. Whatever he said, it did what he said. If he said the water is going to be blue, It was blue. He said the water's going to be green. It was green. He said the water is going to be purple, red, whatever color he wanted it to be. That's what it was going to be. Whatever he said. If he was walking and he didn't want to walk around a tree, it would move over for him. He just told it what he wanted it to do. It didn't matter how big. You talk about the pyramids. Oh, Adam could have did that. Adam could have just, he could have took those stones and just spoke them over there and spoke them over there and spoke them over there. He could have just did whatever he wanted to. He could have built anything he wanted to. He was a creator. He was a son of God. He had a revelation that he was a son of God. He had a revelation that when he spoke, that all nature was in obedience to him. And whatever he told nature, it was going to do exactly what he said for it to do. A tree never died. An animal never died. Nothing could die. See? Because that's God, because he's eternal. And the only way we can ever keep from dying, we have to have eternal life in us to be sons and daughters of God. If you're a son and daughter of God, then eternal life is in you. If Adam was a son of God, eternal life was in him. But when we died, as I said in the message this morning, to sin, we sold out our birthright and crossed that chasm. See? But now, beyond the reach of God, on this other side of the chasm, we're beyond. See? There, when you're born in sin. See? Now, let's just get, I'm just going to just, paragraph 93. Now, of course, when Adam fell to death, he brought death upon all creation. And now he wasn't given, now he was given free moral agency, see? And it's just given to them just so to make a choice. Now, Adam and Eve, in the beginning, there was a tree of right and wrong before them. And that same tree sets before each and every one of us. See, God isn't doing for Adam or for Eve. You say, well, it's their fault. No, not now, it isn't. It's your fault. You can't place it on Adam now. You got to place it on yourself because right and wrong is set before you. Listen, especially you young people, listen what he's saying. It's so easy for us to make excuses. We're on the same basis as Adam and Eve. See? But you see, when you're redeemed, listen to this. We no more want our own choice. But we want his choice, see? See, now Adam and Eve wanted their own choice, but they wanted to find out what it was like to have wisdom, and they probed into it, and it caused death. Now, when man has been redeemed, he don't care anymore for scholarships. He don't care for any more of the things of the world, the wisdom of the world. He don't want no choice at all. Christ has been his choice, and that's all of it. He's redeemed. He just no more wants to lead himself. He don't want nobody to talk to him into where to go and what to do. He just waits and finds out the choice of his maker. See? And then he goes in the name of his maker when the maker tells him to go. But man seeking wisdom wants to find, this parish is pretty good. They'll pay me more over yonder. I'll go over there. See? Wisdom. Now, when Adam sinned by heeding his wife's reasoning, instead of holding to God's word, that's what made Adam sin. His wife reasoned with Satan and then produced the product to Adam. And Adam turned loose of the word and sold out. He lost. Also, listen now, we're back to it. He lost also his inheritance when he lost his fellowship and right to life. Remember, the day you eat thereof, that day you died. You can't die unless you have life, naturally and spiritually. You can't die, and you can't lose something you don't have. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? The day you eat thereof, that's a day that they physically began to die. Right there. When he left the word and he sold out, he lost his inheritance. He lost his fellowship. He lost his right. He lost his claim on eternal life. And when he lost his life, he also lost his inheritance in life, because he had completely supreme control of the earth. He was a god of the earth. God's the god of the universe everywhere. But his son had this earth under his own control. He could speak, he could name, he could say, he could stop nature, he could do anything he wanted to, see? But when he did that, he lost his inheritance. Now, Adam could say, let this mountain be moved over there, and it would do it. Adam could say, let this tree be plucked up and planted over there. It would do it, see? For he had complete supreme control as a minor god under God, our Father, under his Father. See? Because he was a son of God. That's right. Praise be to God. One more paragraph. We're going to stop here at 102 in the breach. Now, couldn't we just stop here a minute and get a real sermon? Oh, then if the blood has cleansed it back, what about it now? See, look what the Son of God, the second Adam, did. See, said, the works that I do shall you also. See, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold out to, Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasoning. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him. He forfeited every bit of it to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hands to Satan. See? Now it has been returned and has been polluted. And the seed of Adam has destroyed the inheritance that Adam should have had. That's the earth. That's right. See, the seed of Adam. Praise be to God. So he's just getting started. Let me tell you, he's just getting started. And this thing that Adam lost, now Satan has polluted it, but the book went back to the hands of the original owner. And so Satan has made his claim, and that's why he could tell Jesus, you fall down and worship me, and I'll give you this. I'll give you these kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the earth. He was in control of them. Why? Because they were born in sin, and he controlled them, except for that group that had eternal life in them, that had that seed of God in them. Those predestinated ones, predestinated before the foundation of the world, they manifested in every age, the attributes of God being manifested, manifested, manifested. Adam, I mean, Moses, he was a son of God, and he stood right there, and God spoke through him. God did. Abraham stood right there and let God move, let God do what he wanted to do. Praise be to God. We thank God so much. Amen. So we appreciate you so much. We want you to just pray one for another, that God will move all of this thing out, and that we let Satan know that there's no sickness, there's no trouble, there's no trial, there's no nothing that he can bring forth that's going to keep us from worshiping God, that's going to keep us from standing on the word, the revelation of this day. And just another good, just thinking of it, another good point that Brother Goomba brought a while back. This, that God ordained the fall in the garden, because God needed a fall so he could become a savior. So that fall, everything that God did, it guided everything into that, so that that attribute of savior could be manifested. And then this was the beauty of what he said. Then in this day, God seen a bride that was perfect in every way, and that could not doubt one word, that could not fall, could not be deceived, could not fall to Satan's reasoning. That's what the word has promised today. And so anytime you get to feeling down and out, anytime you get to feeling problems, you get to feeling this or that or the other, you just remember, you are what God said you are. What God said you're going to manifest in this day, you just look right into the word because that's the mirror. That's the mirror. If that seed is in you, if God is in you, if eternal life is in you, then what you see in this revelation of this message to the elected bride of this day, then you're going to see yourself. And every time that this flesh is this emotion that's making you feel anything, and this intellect is trying to take you somewhere else, you are going to look at the word and recognize the word, believe the word, and apply the word. And it's going to separate you from all of the other things, all of that, because God predestinated this bride in this day. Praise be to our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we appreciate this revelation, Lord, for all of this message is a revelation to your wife. And Lord, we ask that you give us revelation day by day. Open our hearts, our understanding, Lord, spiritual revelation, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Lord, may you just bless us together. May you be with each one now. Each home, each family, your bride, not just here, but around the world. Lord, as we commit them each one to you. Prepare us, Lord, for our next fellowship, Lord, on Sunday, that you would prepare every heart, Lord, to receive. Give us words to speak, Lord, and let us just stand true to every word, Lord, that you have predestinated to be spoken in this day. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. So God bless you so much. We're happy to be here. And I think I see Brother Benjamin there. Good morning, Brother Benjamin. I know, I think it's May. Is it early morning there?
Yes, brother, it's early morning.
Okay,
Still
okay.
is the darkness is the outside.
Yeah, I thought I was seeing the darkness there.
Yeah.
So,
How is your health, brother?
I'm good, brother. I started feeling a little bit off earlier today, but I'm feeling good again, and we're doing great. And so we're just thanking God for that. And so we just continue to pray for each one, and we'll just. We trust that you and the family are well there, brother.
Yes, okay. I am Bisharan. Isaac is okay.
Okay.
Everybody, fire for your prayers. We are safe.
Okay, praise the Lord. Will you greet them?
Our sister Amanda, health.
Amanda's doing good, and fortunately, her and Michael have not been touched by this COVID. So we thank God for that. And some of the others haven't been touched. And so that's the reason why we're trying to stay away. There was a time that I really didn't take this stuff serious, but now I have more responsibility, and I have to think of other people and not myself, because if you have COVID, I'll just come right to your house and fellowship with you. I won't even. But but here I am, I have it. So but anyways,
Still having COVID, brother, in the USA.
yes, it's still here. So
What?
it came it it's just going around. It's just going around. So that's what was wrong
Oh,
Sunday. That's what was wrong on Sunday. There was many that had it. And so we didn't
no.
want to present it to the others. So you remember us.
Okay.